It may not be super anymore, but it's still what they call wild card weekend. I've always called it the first round of the National Football League playoffs because half the teams playing, every team hosting, qualified as a division champion, not a wild card. But it's all semantics. This is the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast. I promised we would continue through the postseason, picking games, looking at trends, looking at spreads, totals, and things like that, and you take out of it what you wish. It was nice to appear earlier this week on VSiN with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin, talk a little bit about the numbers, talk about how I successfully picked on a podcast posted September 6th, the Todd Wright Toddcast, I believe episode 311, picked all eight division winners successfully, and all but two wild cards. I had Cincinnati and San Francisco as wild cards, not Denver or Washington as wild cards. So that's one thing. Being successful in the postseason is another. I'm just a second opinion for you. Brandon Legal Group is my sponsor. They pay for these podcasts, so you don't have to. They are helping me with my upcoming sold-out golf tournament on February 1st, 2025. Todd Wright Tour, Good versus Evil, MMXXV. Yes, Roman numerals, that's 2025. I thank Brandon Legal Group for their continuing support of everything I do. As a paid non-attorney spokesperson, they ask me only to remind you they are a full-service law firm. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. And as one example, if you are an adult male residing in the state of Florida and you are continuing to make permanent alimony payments, you're over a year and a half past how the law works in your favor. Since July 1st, 2023, permanent alimony has not been law in the state of Florida. To alleviate or potentially eliminate future permanent alimony payments, contact Brandon Legal Group for a free consult, 813-902-3576, or visit brandonlegalgroup.com. My email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. If you have any questions, any thoughts on games this weekend, what you may or may not be looking at. Let me quickly run down kind of where we are at the time of this taping. Late morning Eastern time, Thursday, January 9th. I imagine this will be posted sometime on Friday, so there may be some movement in the numbers. So factor that in based on whenever you hear this. Games start Saturday, early afternoon West Coast time, late afternoon Eastern time, and it's stunning that every time the Houston Texans have made the playoffs, they have played in the first time slot of the playoffs. It's also very telling that the Texans, who have never advanced as far as a conference championship, let alone a Super Bowl, really have no national following. It is a very regional following to the greater Houston area. You wouldn't even call them having a big following in the state of Texas because of what the Cowboys have built in terms of a following in the state of Texas. So, and going up against the Chargers, the quote-unquote other team in L.A., makes this a perfect first game of the playoffs, or as I like to call it, the you're flipping through the channels or doing other things on a Saturday, and it's like, oh, the playoffs are on? The playoffs have started? Yeah, that's the Chargers-Texans game. Chargers as a three-point choice at Houston, so we have a road favorite there, one of two as we speak right now. The late Saturday game, the one that is streaming on Prime, is Pittsburgh at Baltimore. I'm stunned this hasn't been a playoff game for about 10 years. It feels like it happens a lot, but it hasn't. It's just a division game, generally a hard-hitting game. The scores have been going up, though, in recent years between these teams with a lot of history here. Pittsburgh coming in as bad as anybody in the NFL, and It's not like Houston is coming in with a lot of momentum. The Vikings come in off a dud with the opportunity to earn a first-round bye, but Pittsburgh limping to the postseason and against a familiar opponent. They split with them this year. Baltimore is a 9.5 or 10-point choice, depending on where you look. Then we start Sunday with Denver, Buffalo. Denver, a 9 or a 9.5-point underdog at Buffalo. So all AFC teams play. I think we did this last year. All three AFC games are played or are scheduled. You have one conference scheduled, and their games are done, and then we play the other conference. Late afternoon, East Coast time, early afternoon, Sunday, Philadelphia, 4.5-point choice, hosting Green Bay. Then the Sunday night game, Buccaneers, 3-point choice at home against the Commanders. And then the Monday night game, currently scheduled for Los Angeles, where the NFL has already announced it could be relocated to Glendale, Arizona. Rams are a 1.5-point, as we talk right now, underdog at home to the wild card Minnesota Vikings. So that's where we are. Some totals have come down through the first half of the week. We have some public sentiment that the totals were set too high in Chargers, Texans, Steelers, Ravens. Again, the trend there's been to a lot of points, but the total came down there. There's been very little play as we speak here late Thursday morning on Denver, Buffalo at all. It is the least touched, according to Patrick Everson, doing his homework on VegasInsider.com. Patrick, you're the man. The Denver-Buffalo game has a very low handle as of late Thursday morning, Eastern time. Green Bay-Philadelphia, the totals also come down. Early word via Patrick Everson, via one sportsbook representative, is Green Bay is a need. Let's put it this way. Pittsburgh and Denver are needs for the books. They're just trying to protect themselves against so many people betting teasers or parlays, money line type parlays, with Baltimore and Buffalo, because it just feels too much like Baltimore the 3 will be playing Buffalo the 2 next week in the divisional round. So Vegas is trying to protect itself with these at or near double-digit numbers on Ravens Bills from people teasing that, parlaying that. But the books would love to see Pittsburgh win, would love to see Denver win. But the more obvious need, I guess, right now is Green Bay, which is the third largest underdog at a modest 4.5, with some concern coming into the week. Neither quarterback was 100% or would play. It feels like both will play 100%. I mean, are we really going to know with Love in the elbow and Hurts on the protocol? Mentioned Washington, Tampa Bay. That total has held at 50.5, with, according to Patrick Everson of VegasInsider.com, all public money, like no sharp money coming in either way as of late Thursday morning. And the total has gone up in Vikings-Rams. That's been against the trend of the totals coming down. That total has gone up from 46.5 to 48. Okay. Let me introduce a couple of, because I want to look at this from a big picture standpoint as it relates to the entire postseason. remind you of two very strong NFL postseason / Super Bowl trends. No head coach with exclusively defensive influence, experience, background has gotten to a Super Bowl since Dan Quinn, Falcons, Super Bowl 51. No coach fitting that description has won a Super Bowl since Pete Carroll in 48. So factor that in to some of your decisions. That's a very strong trend of going on, well, Super Bowls 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58. Okay, so we've had 7 straight Super Bowls without anyone in the game head coached by a team, by a man with a defensive background and no involvement of significance with the quarterback, the offensive play calling, etc. And no head coach with a defensive background that doesn't get involved in the offense has won the game since Pete Carroll, going on 10 years ago. The coaches that fit that description: Houston, Pittsburgh, although Tomlin has won a Super Bowl, it's been a long time, just ask any Pittsburgh fan who is tired of him. Buffalo, Washington, Tampa Bay, that's the list. So I would put a little mark by, and ironically, Dan Quinn, the last head coach hired based on his defensive acumen, is now back in the playoffs with another team, and he's the last to get to a Super Bowl. So I put a little check mark by all these teams who seem to have a ceiling in the modern Super Bowl era. Again, we've gone 7 straight Super Bowls, none with a team who has a head coach with a defensive background who doesn't get involved in the offense. Bill Belichick was involved in the offense later in his career with the Patriots. So that doesn't apply. You got to go back to Dan Quinn for the last one to participate and Pete Carroll for the last one to win, because Belichick was involved with the offense, was involved with his quarterbacks. The word out of his book was he could walk into any offensive meeting, offense, met with his quarterbacks every Saturday in his office, quarterback meeting, running back meeting, wide receiver meeting, offensive line meeting, walk into the meeting and run the meeting. So coaches with that defensive background haven't gone to a Super Bowl for 7 straight Super Bowls, and the last to win it is now going on 10 years ago. This tells me it is less likely to see Houston, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Washington make a Super Bowl run. There are some who believe Sean McDermott has evolved and has gotten more involved with Josh Allen and the offense. He needs to, and he has maintained employment, but I need to see it play out. I mean, of these 5, I'll give it this. McDermott, far and away, would be the favorite to break the streak over Bowles, D'Amico, Quinn getting back this year, and Tomlin getting back and winning a second, potentially winning a second. Let me factor in another trend. And I know it's only the first week. But if I'm saying these teams are coached by guys who don't have the offensive involvement to get to the Super Bowl, that means all of them have to lose somewhere along the way. It's only 3 weeks of the playoffs. So the likelihood that some of them lose this week would be high, with the exception of the Washington-Tampa Bay game where one of them has to win. Nine of the last 11 Super Bowls have included at least one team who didn't win a playoff game the year before. Let me say that to you again. Nine of the last 11 Super Bowls have included at least one of the two participants that didn't win a playoff game the year before. So what are those teams? The Chargers, the Steelers, the Broncos, the Eagles, Washington, Minnesota, and Rams. So that's 10 of the 14 playoff teams didn't win a playoff game last year. Obviously, both Kansas City and Detroit did. So the trend is one of these 10 is going to get to a Super Bowl. Here's your list. Chargers, Texans, Steelers, Broncos, Bills, Eagles, Washington, Minnesota, Rams. I'm sorry, it's 9 because the Bucs won a playoff game last year. I had a different check mark by them for the defensive-minded head coach. So it's 9. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's 8 because Buffalo won a playoff game last year. I'm good. Yeah, because the Ravens were the overall 1. Yeah, Buffalo won a playoff game last year, right? Before they lost the divisional round. Yeah. Was that the win against Pittsburgh last year? Working it out with you. So 8 fit that category. Philly stands out most as a 2 seed. Also not with a head coach with a defensive background. Rams have stood out to me a lot because just 3 years ago, this coach and quarterback combination won a Super Bowl. One more trend for you. The losing QB trend. This is amazing. The last quarterback to lose his Super Bowl debut, to start for a team in the Super Bowl, lose in his first shot, and get back to try again, was Jim Kelly. Yeah, that's a long time ago. And Kelly failed 4 straight times. Since then, no quarterback that has lost their Super Bowl debut has gotten back to start another Super Bowl since Jim Kelly. How about that? So that doesn't apply to the Chargers. It doesn't apply to the Texans. It doesn't apply to Russell Wilson because Wilson has won a Super Bowl. It doesn't apply to Lamar Jackson. It doesn't apply to Josh Allen. It doesn't apply to Bo Nix. So it doesn't apply really to anyone in the AFC. Interesting. It doesn't apply to Jordan Love. It applies to Jalen Hurts. So there's kind of a check mark there against the Eagles getting back to a Super Bowl. Unless it's not Jalen Hurts under center, which as we speak right now, it feels like he's going to go this week. Doesn't mean he doesn't get hurt in the playoffs. But Jalen Hurts has that check mark of a quarterback that lost his Super Bowl debut and hasn't gotten back since. Granted, he's only had one other previous opportunity. That was last year. But the trend is still the trend. Doesn't apply to Baker. Although, the only legal quarterback number to never start a Super Bowl game at quarterback is 6, and Baker wears it. I thought you'd like that. Doesn't apply to Stafford, doesn't apply to Darnold, doesn't apply to Daniels, doesn't apply to Love. So the only one, well, it applies to Goff, because Goff's been there once before with the Rams. So the only two teams that stat applies to that would knock them out of getting to a Super Bowl is Detroit and Philadelphia. They have quarterbacks who have started one Super Bowl and lost. So there are your three trends. And we'll continue to explore those throughout the postseason in terms of who gets to the Super Bowl. I said earlier this week on VSiN, I think there's a lot of value in the futures market in terms of picking not only who goes to the Super Bowl, but who's going to win the Super Bowl. I've been of the belief all year the Chiefs won't win the Super Bowl. They may get there and then lose it. I certainly don't believe the Ravens will win the Super Bowl for all the things I've said for years about Lamar Jackson and what he lacks and that it factor in big games and postseason games, the way Dak Prescott lacks it as well. And that's been proven out. Lamar 2-4 in the postseason, Dak 2-5 in the postseason. Both recently coached by head coaches who have won Super Bowls, so you cannot blame the coach. And just lost my train of thought, talking about Super Bowl quarterbacks and, in terms of value in the market, I think Dan Campbell is going to be to Dan Campbell and cost the Lions just as he cost them last year in the NFC Championship game. And then you factor in the Goff trend of quarterbacks not getting back to the Super Bowl, and it suggests the Lions are going to lose either next week or in the NFC Championship game, both of which would be played in Detroit. So a lot going on there. I'll run through the 6 games in order and just give you a thought. I have to side with the Chargers just because of how the Chargers look as a team as opposed to how the Texans look as a team. The Texans have had growing pains, which is to be expected after all the success for the first year head coach and quarterback last year. I don't write off the Texans and D'Amico and C.J. Stroud going forward at all, but they just weren't able to take another step forward this year. So I am on the side of the Chargers in that first playoff game. It's hard for me to envision Baltimore and Buffalo not playing next week. Sure. Could Baltimore or Buffalo lose? Yeah. I don't think either will. That feels like it's going to be a divisional game next week with the winner potentially moving on to Kansas City. So I understand where the books are trying to protect themselves from the obvious parlays and teasers with Baltimore and Buffalo. It's interesting to me that maybe that's why there's such a low handle in the Denver-Buffalo game. The total has moved down 2.5 points as of late Thursday morning on Pittsburgh-Buffalo. I think that's a reflection of people thinking Pittsburgh's just not going to score, right? That Baltimore could win that game 34-10, somewhere in there, 37-7. I mean, Boswell's going to get to kick at least one. He's one of the most used field goal kickers out there. But, I mean, do you use your field goal kicker if you're down 2 touchdowns? That makes it less likely Boswell gets a ton of action. So I do like Baltimore and Buffalo. I understand the big numbers. I'd probably be more inclined to play the big number on Baltimore than on Buffalo. And the number kind of reflects that. Denver feels like they could backdoor cover, getting 9 or 10. Green Bay Philly is interesting here. Green Bay was in this spot as the 7 last year, went into Dallas and won the game immediately. I think Green Bay is worth consideration here. Josh Jacobs and that Green Bay defense, to me, are very playoff worthy. And as good as Saquon Barkley and that Eagles defense is, I don't know that either is a huge edge against Green Bay. So if you're nullifying a couple of the big advantages for the Eagles, then do they have enough to still win this game? So I'm inclined to take the points with Green Bay. I've been keeping an eye on it, and once there's significantly more traction that Hurts is going to go, as we speak right now, it sure feels like he's going to go, and that Love's okay, this number could move. I don't know if it'll get to 6, which would be nice for those of us that want to be on the Green Bay side. But maybe that's also a sign that, granted, the books say they need Green Bay. The books have lost a lot of money this year because so many favorites have won and covered. But when a book says they need a team, high profile, often that team comes through. So I'd keep an eye on Green Bay here. I think that's the play. But I'd keep an eye on the number to go up a little bit. Tampa Bay, Washington. I'm actually surprised the Bucs are favored, and it's all public money right now, and it's very even. The total's sitting at 50.5 because these teams are known for productive quarterbacks who do whatever it takes. Defense be damned. I have a feeling this game is low scoring at the beginning, so I might jump in on some first quarter, second quarter numbers that reflect that, but then it could explode in the second half. I'm comfortable laying 3 or less with the Bucks. Beyond 3, I'm not so sure. And finally, Minnesota, road favorite at the Rams. I have been big on the Rams all year. McVay knew certain players needed rest last week, and as a result, he potentially loses the 3 seed, which would have played Washington to be the 4 seed. McVay knows his team. Some really talented young performers in that Rams front 7 with a very good young defensive coordinator who had been groomed for this job for a long time and Don Shula's grandson. A healthy Nacua, a freshened Kyron Williams. Getting a little something out of Cooper Kupp wouldn't hurt. I worry about the Stafford elbow just as McVay and the Rams do. But I like the Rams getting points here. I like the Rams to win the game. I think the total's too high. So I might same game parlay Rams win with, say, lower total on the Vikings points. You could do the game total. I prefer to do team totals. And a lot for Nacua in this game. So that's kind of what I'm thinking, which means To me, it's hard to envision, like I said, let's look ahead a week before we say goodbye. Kansas City, if we're allotting that Baltimore and Buffalo win as huge favorites this week, they play each other next week, which means Kansas City would host the winner of Chargers-Texans. I know. And then you're already thinking, well, that means Kansas City hosts another AFC title game. Yeah, probably. We would project the Chargers into that spot against Kansas City, which makes it more interesting than if Houston goes. And the line would reflect that. Kansas City, not to pull a Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin guessing lines, Kansas City against the Chargers would be a touchdown favorite or less. Kansas City against Houston, you're getting into the double digits there. In the NFC, if Green Bay can pull off another number 7 win on the road, as they did last year at Dallas at the NFC East champ, Green Bay would go to Detroit. If Green Bay doesn't pull it off, then Philly hosts the other NFC playoff game next week. All right, so let's just play out. The Green Bay pulls the upset, goes to Detroit. What else does that leave us in the playoffs? To me, it leaves you Rams at Bucks. If Rams and Bucks both win. If Green Bay doesn't pull off the upset and Philly is playing next week and hosting, they would host Bucks. Rams would go to Lions, ironically, for a division playoff game. And a lot of history here over the previous 52 weeks. If you remember, the Rams fought Detroit to the end last year in the first round of the playoffs and then opened the season on Sunday Night Football fighting them to the end as well. So that's what I see for next week. A Chargers at Chiefs, Ravens at Bills AFC slate with either a Green Bay at Detroit, Rams at Bucks, or a Rams at Detroit, Bucks at Eagles. What do you think? Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Enjoy the games this weekend. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group.